Hey, good morning. This is an amazing day. You think of how many people around the world are praying. Don't you think that's amazing? However many, 200 million or something they reckon, 20,000 in London alone that we know of. This is a special day. And in fact, I think Caroline told me earlier that it's today, is Pentecost Day, is that right? Yes, I'm not a religious person, so I don't know these things. It's Pentecost Day, so it's like, thank you, Jesus, what you're going to do in this world today, pour out your spirit fresh all over this world and in this nation. Amen. Well, God gave me a specific scripture, Psalm 68, verse 1, and in different versions, it has different ways of putting it. It's you can have God is arising, okay, or may God arise, which is a bit, I don't know, it's a bit insipid for me, really. It's a bit, yeah, may God arise over there somewhere, but don't bother me. But the version this morning that I believe God is saying to us as a church is, let God arise. Okay, let God arise. Turn to your neighbour and say, let God arise. And then you say to yourself, let God arise. Some of you didn't say it. Say, let God arise. Yeah, come on. God longs to reveal himself to this world and to this nation. He longs to move. He wants to save people. He wants to reveal his goodness, his heart. He wants to do miracles. He wants to arise. But he arises in us, in his people. He's not some nebulous thing. Never has been. He's never worked like that. He works in people. He works, he sent Jesus, he worked in a man, through a man, and he still does that. When God needs to change a nation, it starts with us. Let God arise. And for Clive and I, we sense or feel God has been pushing us to a new level, okay, as individuals and as a couple, as leaders. He's been hoisting us and pushing us and taking us to a new level in him. We've had to allow him to rise up in us, because we don't get there in our own strength. It's not of our own giftings or anything like that. When God has a couple of different ministries, like national and international things that are going on, people have come to us separately and said, will you come on board? Will you be involved in this? We want you to be involved in raising the next generation in this country and Europe. And we're like, who, us? Do you know what I mean? I can't, you know, in ourselves we're like, we can't do that, you know? But God's like, yes, you can. This is what I called you to. This is kingdom faith. This is having influence in this country and in Europe and beyond. Okay, that is the call and purpose of kingdom faith, to be an influence. And because God has put us in leadership, he calls us up to this place of influence, this new level that not only us come into, but the whole body, kingdom faith, every single one of us. And, you know, like with as we do that, as we respond as a couple as well, not just as individuals, but together, ruling and reigning, okay? Ruling and reigning in our own home, in our own lives, allowing God to rule and reign, ruling and reigning in the church like he asked us to, ruling and reigning in the nation which he asked us to, for a generation, for souls to get saved. As we move into that place, like if in Judges 5, when it talks about Deborah and Barak, okay, man and a woman coming together. She's a leader in the nation. He's a leader in the nation. She's prophetic, a judge. He's military. And together, they won't go without each other. They go together and fight for their nation. And the word says, awake, Deborah, awake and arise, Barak, arise together. And they fought and they won for their nation, bring their nation into freedom from their enemies. And it says in that, in Judges, when they about their song, about what they did, it said, when the leaders lead, the people gladly follow. Amen. When the leaders lead, when God calls the leaders, spiritual leaders in this nation to lead, people will gladly follow. And I just speak that over this church and the body of Christ in this nation. Amen. That as we lead, as we do our part, as we come up, you guys come up, people get saved. It's just this whole coming to a new level, God arising in this nation. As we step into the new roles, you will step into new roles. You will come up into new levels yourself. And there's this whole obedience and this whole making a way for those behind us to follow in. Kingdom faith is like we're kingdom builders, we're not kingdom dwellers. We are kingdom builders. We have an awesome intimacy in this church, in kingdom faith, in worship. We know how to get in there with God. And that intimacy has to lead to leading others into that intimacy, to be kingdom builders, not just dwelling in his presence, but building. Amen. That's what God calls us to. When God arises in us, when God arises in the nation, it means change. Okay, it means change. It means moving out of our comfort zones. And that's what Clive and I are going through. I'm not saying anything that God hasn't been nailing us on over these last few weeks and months. Moving out of our comfort zone, and we're saying, yes, God, take us to that new level. Arise in us, because this is for the nation and beyond. This is not just our own patch, not just our own church or our own ministry. God wants to save this nation. And I believe we have a window of opportunity. I was looking at, you know, when the Queen was crowned and she gives her speech of what she agrees to oversee with the authority that she has as a monarchy in this nation that's been there for hundreds of years, that she oversees the well-being of this nation, God's plan for this nation and the church in this nation. And I don't know how long that window of opportunity for us to be free is there, because whoever is crowned next may well change that, what is said, that declaration over this nation. And we have an openness and a protection at the moment, I believe, from God that we have to operate in case that ever closes. It's the time for the church being strengthened, coming together, of God sorting out the gender differences, the battles that have always been there between the sexes and the generations, and bringing the church together in a way that's never been seen before. So we are a strength in this nation. We are a voice for however long, you know, he's got that opportunity to bring us together and do and to cause us to rise up. You know, when God wants to put the impossible, he has put the impossible, Jesus, you know, he's put Jesus in every one of us, the impossible, they're waiting to happen. Okay, and like Mary, our response needs to be, you know, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Sorry, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I only got a short space of time, sorry. When Gabriel came to Mary and said, I'm going to put the Son of God inside you. You know, this is a teenager. He comes to a teenager and makes her pregnant. I mean, how out of the box is that? I mean, God is just so out there, beyond our religious thinking of how he's going to move. He comes to a teenager and says, I'm going to put the impossible inside of you. This nation's saviour is coming through you. And her response is just amazing for a teenager. She's like, I'm your servant. God, whatever you say, let it be done. And God is looking for that response from us and our young people in this nation. He's positioning and aligning us and our teenagers and younger to carry his answer for this nation. Okay, and our response is, yes, Lord, the impossible become possible. You know, this nation was called Great Britain. It was great. It is great. God wants to make it great again. It was great when it was ascending and a missionary nation. Okay? And now Britain leads in a different way. It leads in sin. in so many areas, in statistics, we are top or we are bottom, depending on what it is. This nation leads, but in a wrong way. And God wants to arise to such an extent that that changes. Amen? He wants to arise in us that we tackle the things that are important. We tackle the things that are in his heart to change. And you know, I don't know if you've seen that film, you know, Amazing Grace with Wilberforce. It's just an awesome film. If you get the chance, go and see it or show it to your kids. Of Wilberforce plus the other guys that were with him and women that worked for a long time, tackling slavery. Just tackling a sin that was so entrenched in this world, in this nation. And they won. There's a man of God who responded to the call of God to go from that place of intimacy with God where he wanted to stay. He didn't want to go into politics, but he went there and God used him. 30 years, it cost him his life. Laying down his life and prayer and his health. It didn't cost him his life physically, but you know, it was his life. He paid the price to see. And God wants reformers in this nation, men and women who will fight, stay the course for morality, for God's morality to be established in this nation once again. Amen. That's cool. You know, you think about smoking. There's once upon a time you'd never have dreamed that smoking would be banned in this nation. And it's happening. You've got doctors saying they don't want to perform abortions. It's like, come on, Jesus. Let's see this nation turn back to you, but to your ways, you know, where there's reform and there's change and people's lives respond, people respond to the Lord. He's positioning and aligning many of his people to be in places of influence. We have many of our young people in universities going for some awesome top jobs. He wants to place them in places of influence where they will be a voice for him, where they will live for him and stand for him. Now, Joe's here. Joe, can you come up, please? Now, God said to me to bring Joe up. Joe's my eldest son. He's 16. He was 16 a couple of weeks ago. And give him a hand. Give him a hand. Cool. Now, Joe's a pretty laid-back guy, okay? He's cool. He's laid-back. In fact, you know, he's so laid-back that I do actually prop him up, and I just think I've been a terrible mother because this guy, we're sort of like this, you know? I prop him up, and I feel if I walked away, he would just fall on the floor and stay there. He would just stay there, do you know what I mean? If you know what I mean, teenage boys are like that, you know? You just sort of, you prop them up, and but actually, he's so totally motivated when it comes to his drumming. If you didn't know, he's a drummer. And he plays up here. He's so motivated for that, I don't have to say a word. Totally, totally there. And I know there's going to come a point where he'll move from the drumming onto other things and he'll be totally motivated in that as well. And he'll put everything into that like he does his drumming. Amen? Now, Joe, when he was born, Joe was a huge baby, right? He was 9 pound 14, and he was 19 days late, right? There's no word of a lie, they let me go too long, 19 days late, pushed this guy out to my cost. God got him out. And his stature, right, is not from Clive and I. You can see that, can't you? Because we're quite small and his, you know, he's bigger than that. But when we chose the name Joe for him, J-O-E, it's not short for Joseph or, you know, any other Joel or whatever name. We liked the name Joe and we chose it. And God said, when I was pregnant with Joe, he is a mighty warrior. Okay? So his stature is what is the call on his life. Okay? He is a mighty warrior. That's what God spoke over him. We had it confirmed. Different people, different times. He's a mighty warrior, aren't you? And Joe, as I say, turned 16, he's just left school, and back in the autumn they had to choose what they were going to do, you know, the next couple of years or whatever. And we weren't saying either way, we didn't have a clue either way, we were just like, okay, God, you lead and guide Joe. So when it came to the days of, like, going to the colleges and deciding where you're going to go, what did you decide?
I decided that I wanted to go to a music college.
Right. So it's no sixth form college or anything like that, no uni, you know, you just wanted to go to music college in Brighton. So you looked to apply, didn't you, in the springtime. And this is getting closer and closer, you know, when they're supposed to be going into the next thing and you know what they're doing. And come the spring and you were in the middle of applying, and what happened?
We had a worship practice here on a Monday night, and we had a sort of prayer time, and Chad just spoke and just said that some of you are going to get a word on your future and stuff to do with music for the future. And then while I was praying, God just said, I want you to go to Bible college. And I was like, well, what about music college? Stuff in Brighton, and God just said, I want you to forget that for now and go to Bible college and just spend at least a year and just give time to me. So,
at least a year.
Yeah.
So when Joe came home and said that, it was a surprise for us. We weren't expecting that at all. And I was like, what Bible college? And he said, well, this one. And I was like, you know, just like, wow, I can't believe it. And but God said to me on Joe's 16th birthday, which is a couple of weeks ago, God got me up in the middle of the night. And I don't ever get up in the middle of the night, okay? This was God. He started talking to me about Joe, and I wrote a whole load of stuff down for him and gave it to him. And God was saying that this, you know, this is a season of training for him, for this, the mighty warrior that's there, okay? The mighty warrior that's in there that God called him to start coming to the surface, for God to arise in him, for the call to arise in him, and him to be and become the man of God, you know, he's called him to be. Now, you know Joe, I don't know if you've watched Joe drum. When he drums, he just so goes for it. He's so into it. And I know God said to me that you're into them, but there's, because of the mighty warrior in you, when you drum, things are going to be happening in the heavenlies, okay? They see you. You know that word where Clive was saying about standing? When you stand in the spirit, they see you, you take your place, and you're going to be seen, but you're going to be feared, because you're going to be a mighty warrior. You are a mighty warrior for him, and this training is going to bring that forward. But also when you drum and you do solos, or whatever the spirit tells you to do, you're going to be doing warfare. What drums are for, worship and warfare. Amen. Cool. I'll need to read this and read this to you, but I'm going to use it in a while for everybody. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Our sovereign Lord, I say, I'm only a child. And he says to you, do not say you are only a child. Get yourself ready. Okay, this is important because I can't do this for him. I have to trust God. Get yourself ready. Stand up. This is Jeremiah 1. Verse 17, today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. Amen. 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 Cool. You sit down, mate. Now, thank you, Joe. Now, I only did that because God, you know, God asked me to, but you know, he's calling his young people to. I've heard of different stories where God has spoken to young people. They might be going in one direction, and he's spoken, and they've changed their mind, and they're going in another direction. And God is lining up his young people in this nation to be used mightily for him. He wants to speak to teenagers, put the impossible in for it to come out, and they say, yes, Lord, amen, like Joe did, responding to the voice of God. Now, I just want to talk about the next line of this scripture, let God arise, is let his enemies be scattered. Amen. Let his enemies be scattered. And God and you have enemies that he wants to get rid of. He wants moved out of the way. When the cry, let God arise, it's used in the psalm there, but it's from when Moses was leading the people of Israel across the wilderness to the promised land, okay? And they would encamp, and they would set up the tabernacle, and they would the cloud of God's presence would be there for however long. And then when God decided it was time to arise, it would blow a trumpet and Moses would shout out, "Let God arise." Okay, let God arise. And as God arose, the people had to arise. It wasn't just him moving off by himself. They all arose and went where God was leading. And he arose and he would go forward and he would take them and they had to face some giants and face their enemies with God leading them. And in this nation, you know, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and principalities and powers. So the prayer is why it's so key today that this prayer is going on around. The prayer level is going to go up in this nation. It's going to go up in this church and in this nation and in this world, because our fight is not against people, but against principalities and powers, okay, to take them on in a new level. That his enemies get scattered. That his enemies in our lives get scattered. God, the enemies of God in this nation are injustice, okay, unrighteousness, sin, poverty. And for God to arise, he needs to arise in a people of integrity, a people who have overcome, a people who are free, a people who are free from sin, who don't have a poverty mentality, who are people of righteousness and a people of justice. When we rise with those things, God arises in us and through us. We cannot tackle anything in this nation that we ourselves struggle with, that we have not learned to overcome, that the enemies and the giants in our own lives we have not fought and seen one. And it's great to say, yes, we want to see God arise in the nation, and we want to see this, that, and the other change. What about our own hearts and lives? Let God arise. You let him arise and let his enemies be scattered. And we can resist God arising in our life, because it means change. It means getting out of our comfort zone. Our routines are our security. Laziness, apathy, anything that stops God arising in our life is his enemy. Let his enemy be scattered. What enemy of God is operating in and around you that he wants to clear out of the way? Some of our enemies, like with the Israelites, they left some of the enemies and giants in the land that God had said to wipe out. And they eventually they became so comfortable with them, they were their friends. They lived with them. And some enemies and giants in our lives end up becoming our friends. We don't want them to go. It can be sin. Whatever our flesh loves doing, God says, "Come on, guys. Come on, guys. I want to take you to a new level. You can overcome this." Maybe I ask you to fast. Maybe there are some things he'd ask you to drop forever, if it means making a way for God and making a way for someone else to come into. You know, we want to see our young people set free from, you know, wrong sexuality, alcohol, drugs, pornography. But for some of us, those enemies have become our friends. We don't want to give them up. But if God wants to arise and take us to a new level and work through us, pray through us, intercede through us, minister through us, those things have got to be dealt with. And we can't just say, you know, especially if you're in leadership or want to aspire to leadership, you can't just say, "Oh, this is all right for me, it doesn't affect anybody else." It's not true. It's not true. You won't be the leader God wants you to be. You won't be able to lead anybody to anything if areas like this are not dealt with in your own heart and your own life. It's new disciplines in a new level. But if we want to see the nation free, and that's what God wants, see this nation saved. And we need to respond to God. We need to be able to say, yes, Lord, I want you to arise in me. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. And it says so often in Scripture that he chose you. He called you. He has anointed and appointed you. And so often between that point where he does that and the bit where he goes on to say, today I've made you a fortified city, there's years maybe of experience. It can be our genealogy even, what's been passed down to us from our family, from our parents, from family lines. Enemies in our life. Enemies to his kingdom expanding that God wants to come and move, wants to come and remove the call that he's got for you. He wants to see manifest. He wants it to be manifest in your life, what he chose you to do. So he says, don't say you're just a child. Don't say you can't do that. Don't say you can't do this. And I'm only sharing what I've had to go through in the last couple of months that God has done in me. Don't say that. I chose you. I called you. I appointed you. Today I make you a fortified city. Get yourself ready and stand up. There's a strength he wants to put in us as individuals, a strength in marriages, a strength in families, a strength in the body, that we know we're called and chosen. There could be character traits in us, you know, we've been formed. He was there, we're formed in the womb, but things in our lives form our characters. Some good, and God uses, and some not so good. But they're the things he wants to be able to overcome. For him to arise in us, take us to a new level. We do new things. We do the impossible that he put in us when he was there forming us. Amen. Amen. You're very quiet. let's stand, shall we? Because it just requires, you know, a response from us, this word. And when it says, let God arise, it's like, okay? Okay, God. And if you can shut your eyes, and if you can say to the Lord, Lord, be Lord, and I let you arise in my life. Can you say that today? Lord, I give you permission. I give you permission to arise in me, to take me to a new level in you, to new places, to a new experience of you in my life, to a place in the spirit I've not been. I give you permission, Lord, to arise in me. In my circumstances, in my home, in every area of my life, I give you permission. And this is so simple, because as you say yes to God, he'll do it. Because it's the desire of his heart to arise in every one of us, take us to new places in him. For him to arise in this nation, in us. And the second response is, let his enemies be scattered. And we just simply say, Lord, any enemy, any giant in my life that hinders you arising, remove it, Lord. Remove it, Lord. Show it, name it, shame it, Lord. And Lord, remove it from my life because I want to come to a new place with you. Lord, anything that's in my life or around my life that hinders, if it's a relationship, then you may well need to give it up. God is going to speak to you about what is in your life he wants you to let go of. Who he wants you to let go of, what he wants to nail in your life once and for all. If you're one of these people who keeps coming back round a mountain to something that you're not free from, God wants to set you free. And you know, it may be that you have things going on in you that need uprooting, that may not even be there from any fault of your own. It's not what God made you to be. It's not who he called you to be right at the beginning. But there may be things there, hopelessness, things that overwhelm you, fear, shame, guilt, loneliness, rejection, suicide. There are some massive, massive enemies that God wants to be broken in our lives, so we can move forward and we make a way for others to come after us. We make a way. We walk in freedom and we bring freedom to others. Right now, I thank you, Jesus, that you reveal, because this is your heart, to set us free. You reveal right now any giants that you want to uproot right now in the name of Jesus, and you deal with them. You deal with them, Lord, because you are all powerful. We have your authority in us. Thank you, Jesus, that you deal with them because you love us. You deal with them because you want us to walk free, and you nail them. And you show us, Lord. You show us so that we arise. We allow you to arise in us. The word says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Today, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand in the land. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you doing an awesome work in us and in this nation, Lord. And we just give you permission to do what you need to do in us and through us, Lord, for your kingdom to come and your will be done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.